John 17, verse 3. And it says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's Jesus speaking right before he was to go to the cross. He gave a wonderful prayer in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is the words of Jesus praying to God. And he prays this, John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What are some things if you want to know somebody? Let's make this interactive for a second. I know we don't usually do this here at the stream, but we're at the campsite. What are some things that are involved in getting to know someone? When you think about knowing someone, even someone here that maybe you don't know very well yet, what are some things involved in getting to know someone?
Time.
What else?
Conversation.
Same. What else? Name. Their name. Maybe what they do. Maybe where they're from. Maybe some other things. You get the idea. In his book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer makes an interesting comment, and that's why I have paper here, because I want to directly quote it. He says, in Knowing God, J.I. Packer says that the quality and extent of our knowledge of other people depends more on them than on us. Now, think about that for a moment. The quality and extent of our knowledge of other people depends more on them than on us. You might ask why, how so? He says, our knowing them is more directly the result of them allowing us to know them than of our attempting to get to know them. When we meet, our part is to give them our attention and interest, to show them goodwill, and to open up in a friendly way from our side. From that point, however, it is they, not we, who decide whether we are going to know them or not. That's interesting. Now, hear me out on this. Mac Lake, in a recent book that I've been reading called Leading Others, talks about five levels of knowing people, and he puts it like concentric circles. So imagine like a target with a bullseye in the middle and concentric circles that get down to the middle. He says the outer layer of knowing someone is you know face. So think about somebody in your life that you know their face. You just know who they are. They may not even know you, but you know their face, you know who they are. And then the second level is knowing facts. So you might know some facts about them. They work at this place, or they live at this place, or they take this class at my school. You know some facts about them. The third level, we're getting a little deeper now, is you know feelings. You know some things that they think about, what their opinion are is about certain things, how they feel about certain things, maybe what their favorite car is, their favorite color, their favorite baseball team, whatever. You know some things about how they feel. And then you go to the next deeper level and you know fears. They might share something about what they struggle with or what their challenges are in life or what they're facing that is something they're concerned about, right? And then the deepest level is that you know faith. You know what their passions are. You know what is the priority of their lives. You know what really makes them tick. You know what means the most to them. So you know faith, you know facts, you know feelings, you know fears, you know faith. Where am I going with all this? As we can think of different levels of relationship to some degree in our life, the challenge that Mac Lake says in his book is what can you do to get deeper with somebody, to get down to the core with somebody, you know? And I think a lot of the things we mentioned so far are important. But let's apply that to God now. Because Jesus Christ says, he prays that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And following what J.I. Packer says, that knowing someone depends more on the other person than on us, we need God to then reveal himself to us. We need God to do that. So think about somebody famous, maybe, that, you know, let's say you have a famous celebrity or rock star or whatever, favorite group. You would like to get, wouldn't it be neat if you got to get to know said individual that's pretty famous, right? It'd be one thing if they, you know, in passing, they just gave you their autograph or you got to take a selfie with them. You know, that would be kind of cool, right? But it's a whole nother thing if they sat down with you and they started sharing their fears and their concerns and their worries and they opened up intimately with you. You would sure feel like you knew them a lot more, wouldn't you? I mean, somebody, like, of all the people they could have shared these things with me? Now let's take it to a greater level. God himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has opened his heart and revealed himself to you so that you could know him. He wants to know you. Let's talk about three ways that I think God does that: creation, communication, and connection. One way that the Bible makes it very clear that God reveals himself is through creation. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Romans chapter 1 talks about that through the creation that was made, we are without excuse, in the sense that God has revealed himself and shown himself in creation. So think about that at the beach, right? We often think of the roaring waves and the vastness of the deep and the ocean. Or we think about the stars in the sky at night when we're looking out camping here. And you think, what an incredible God that would create this. Someone so much greater. And in the thing that Jesus prays, he says that they may know you, the only true God. There is one God. The only true God is Jesus. He makes that very clear. That God, he's praying to the Father. There's one God who exists as three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God. So there's one God, and God reveals himself through creation. The second way God reveals himself is through communication. And God has given us scripture. He's given us his word that we might know him. He's revealed his workings and his doings throughout history with so many people. If you want to get to know God, the best place to look is the Bible, because God reveals himself. He communicates to us through his word in the Bible. Yet in communication, he's also given us the privilege to communicate to him, and that's the privilege of prayer. In John 17, we see a perfect model of Jesus himself praying, and he actually prays not just for his followers there, he prays for you and me in that passage. And so we have the privilege of communicating with the God of the universe through prayer. And then lastly, connection. God gives us the privilege to connect with him. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God has sent his son. God has sent his son into the world that we might have a relationship with God. How did he do that? Jesus not only taught us things about God, and he was the word, became flesh. He was God in the flesh who came to us. So he came to us to communicate himself to us through Jesus. But his ultimate purpose and mission was to go to the cross, die for our sins, rise from the dead, all of which he did, so that the barrier between us and God, namely our sin, with such a holy, perfect, righteous God, our sin is paid for and forgiven, that we could connect with God and have a relationship with him. So creation, communication, and connection. God has sent his son into the world that we might know him. And you and I have the privilege of knowing this great God. And we can know him on that deepest level of faith, whereby understanding the very heart of God, the very passions and purposes and will of God, can then transform our hearts and our lives in such a way that what really becomes our passion and desire is a God that would love us so much. A holy God, a creative God, an all-wise God, an all-good, righteous, perfect God. We can know him, and that affects our very heart. Four qualities that J.I. Packer says of people that know God. Let me close with this. Four qualities of people that know God. J.I. Packer says this. One, they have great energy for God. They have great energy for God. What's that mean? It means they have a passion. We were just talking this morning in our campsite. We were talking about that old show, The Crocodile Hunter. You remember that? Some of you know what that is, Steve Irwin. And he was this guy, this Australian guy that would go in and, you know, interact with these dangerous animals, but he could have been talking about anything, because what I loved about him is he was so passionate about what he was teaching about. And those who know God have a great passion, a great love for God, a great zeal for God. Those who know their God, and maybe assess that: what's my level of energy for God? Am I passionate? Do I have zeal? Now, that different people express passion different ways. You don't need to yell and scream and be enthusiastic and Steve Irwin like, "This is the most deadly snake in the world," and he picks it up. You don't need to be expressive like that. But what drives your heart? What really makes you tick? Is it God? And we can have a lot of passions in our life, but our number one passion needs to be God. Second, those who know God have a great boldness for God. And what he means by that is that boldness is such that they're going to hold to their convictions no matter what. They're not going to conform to the world. They're not just going to follow the crowd. They're going to say yes, the things they want to say yes to, and no to the things they say no to. They're not just going to follow the bandwagon or the crowd. Great boldness with God means that I'm not ashamed of it. I'm willing to share it. I'm willing to love. I'm willing to stand by my convictions against peer pressure, against pressures in the world, whatever it is. Great boldness for God. And a great example of that is the book of Daniel. We see how bold he is. You know, everybody else is bowing down to a false god, to an idol, and Daniel says, not me. You didn't throw me in the lion's den, but not me. They have a great boldness for God. So those who know God have a great energy for God, a great boldness for God. Those who know God also have a great contentment in God. And a great contentment in God would be that there's joy, there's peace, there's satisfaction, there's fulfillment, and they understand that it's God who gives them that. And the last one, and I think very significantly relating to know God, is that those who know God have great thoughts of God. Great thoughts of God. They understand. They have great, they comprehend more and more. They're growing in the knowledge and comprehension of who God is. Now, God is so great that, again, without him revealing himself to us, it can be hard for us to have great thoughts for God. But when we read scripture, when we look at the beauty of creation, like the ocean, your thoughts for God hopefully grow. They expand. You know, and we need to be people that have great thoughts of God because of who he is and what he's done. And so, do you have great energy for God? Do you have great boldness for God? Do you have great contentment of God in God? And do you have great thoughts of God? As you think through those things today, I want you to consider relationships. Who do you know facts? Who do you know who do you know face? Who do you know facts? Who do you know feelings? Who do you know fears? And who do you know faith? And how can you grow in those? And how does that apply to your relationship with God? And then the four things, do you have great thoughts of God, great contentment in God, great boldness for God, and great energy for God? And how can you grow in those things? It comes down to God again revealing himself, like that famous person that reveals himself to you. God reveals himself to you in communication. Wait, I'm sorry, creation, communication, and connection. Would you pray with me? And let's ask that God would show us and teach us and reveal more. God, would you reveal more of yourself to us? Would we see you for who you are? Would we have a great connection with you because of Jesus? And we thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your one and only Son to die on a cross, to forgive us of sins, and to give us eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. May we know you more and more, God, and may the impact be great energy, great boldness, great contentment, and great thoughts of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's close with a final song of worship.